Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, January 22nd, 2019. Coming up this hour,
leaders gather in Davos amid the prospect of slowing global growth.
The world economy is growing more slowly than expected, and risks are rising.
U.S. futures fall as a cloudy outlook dampens risk appetite.
And shares of UBS slump after $13 billion in outflows.
The longest government shutdown in U.S. history entered its 32nd day with no end in sight. Plus, Russia has been hit by EU sanctions. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on sports. More of the same. An easy win for the Nets. A lopsided loss by the Knicks. And they're playing the quarterfinals at the Australian Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And U.S. futures are falling this morning while treasuries climb and the yen strengthens. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 15 points, Dow futures down 129, NASDAQ futures down 51. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%, the CAC in Paris down 0.25%, and the FTSE 100 down about 0.4%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 0.5%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.7%. 10-year treasury up 7/32, yield 2.75%, yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.3% or 73 cents to $53.07 a barrel. COMEX gold is up almost 0.1%, up 90 cents to $12.83.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1359, the yen, 109.47. Nathan.
Karen, the International Monetary Fund kicked off the World Economic Forum in Davos by cutting its forecast for global growth.
After 2 years of solid expansion, the world economy is growing more slowly than expected, and risks are rising.
Managing Director Christine Lagarde says the IMF predicts global growth of 3.5% this year. That would be the weakest pace in 3 years.
That promise of slowing growth looms large at the World Economic Forum, along with trade tensions and geopolitics. Bloomberg's has Linda Amin reports from Davos.
The theme this year is globalization 4.0. In a sense, there is some sort of defiance on the part of the World Economic Forum as this meeting comes against a backdrop of rising anti-globalization sentiment. Now, Klaus Schwab, who's behind this World Economic Forum, says globalization may have peaked, but government leaders and corporate chiefs will have to continue to work together to address issues like populism, easing growth, climate change. What's most apparent, of course, is the absence of several global leaders. The likes of President Trump, Macron, May have decided to stay home because of domestic issues. All these reflect the very challenging times and the issues that will have to be addressed at this World Economic Forum.
And we'll have live coverage from Davos today with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow on Bloomberg Surveillance. Tune in at 7 a.m. Wall Street time for the conversations with Citigroup CEO Michael Corbat, Blackstone CEO Steve Schwarzman, OPEC Secretary General Mohamed Barkindo, and many more.
Now, as slowing growth hits sentiment in Davos, it is also figuring prominently in remarks from Chinese President Xi Jinping. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
This is the first time we think we've heard President Xi talk about serious risks and dangers to the Communist Party's long-term rule. They have not had to wrestle with a slowdown, which we are seeing now, at least for the last 3 decades or so. So this was an unusual meeting of provincial leaders here in Beijing. There was a lot of secrecy around it. We only heard about it at the end of the meeting with a Xinhua News statement. And it is interesting that President Xi is highlighting the risks to Communist Party rule. And if that doesn't spur on Communist Party cadres to get their act together, then nothing will.
The meeting was held the same day China reported its slowest growth since 2009, with fourth quarter GDP coming in at 6.4%.
Those are remarks from President Xi and the IMF forecast took a bite out of stocks in Asia today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully has details from Singapore.
The yuan and Chinese stocks were amongst the biggest laggards in the region after President Xi stressed the need to maintain political stability. A report the US will move forward with a formal request to extradite the Huawei CFO from Canada also dampened sentiment. A stronger yen saw the Nikkei 225 close lower by 0.5% to 20,622 points in total. Tokyo, while the won slipped for a second day in Seoul as Monday's weak export data weighed on sentiment despite a positive fourth quarter South Korean GDP print. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. In Europe, shares of UBS are leading stocks lower. The Swiss bank warns client activity is still recovering after investors pulled $13 billion of assets in the fourth quarter. We get more from Bloomberg Intelligence senior bank analyst Jonathan Tice.
Personally, I don't think the outflows are a huge surprise. I think for me, the bigger concern is if you look at the revenue run rate, some of it's recurring income and some of it is transaction-based. The transaction-based has fallen off a cliff. You couple that with the fact that the invested asset base that they're starting 2019 with is knocking on 10% lower, plus the fact that their equities franchise in the investment bank was disappointing and all the traditional advisory business kind of missed as well. It's a pretty poor place to start 2019.
Those underwhelming earnings from UBS have shares of the Swiss bank down nearly 4% this morning.
In the UK, a plan is emerging that could open the door to a second referendum on Brexit. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. The UK's opposition Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has proposed a series of votes in Parliament on options for how the UK can avoid a no-deal Brexit. And one of those options is another national referendum. The amendment is likely to be put to a vote in the House of Commons on January the 29th, but it's not likely to pass because few in the ruling Conservative Party will support a motion bearing Corbyn's name. And the motion also mentions a customs union solution, which is unpalatable to opponents of Brexit. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thanks. Oil is sliding this morning amid concerns about a global slowdown. Still, crude is trading near a two-month high. It's off to its best start in 18 years. Checking prices now, West Texas Intermediate's down about 1% or 58 cents, $53.22 a barrel, while Brent is down 1.1% or 71 cents, trading at $62.03. Futures on Wall Street pointed lower as well. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump and senior Democrats are trying to take their first steps toward a possible compromise deal on immigration and border security. It comes as the president and Speaker Nancy Pelosi are at odds with each other as the government shutdown now enters its 32nd day. The president is suggesting he'd trade amnesty in return for $5.7 billion for a border wall. Democrats want protection for Dreamers and won't negotiate until the government is reopened. Meanwhile, Congress is back at work today. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is preparing a vote on President Trump's proposal to reopen the government. It includes the same funding for the border wall request that the president previously asked for. Democrats say the deal is dead on arrival. A Pennsylvania YMCA is letting furloughed workers work out for free until the shutdown ends. All they have to do is bring their letter of furlough to the Greater Scranton YMCA in Dunmore. This woman likes this.
I think it's a great idea. I have a friend that works for the federal government right now, and I was just talking to my best friend this week, and they have enough money to cover 10 pay periods, and then they don't know what they're going to do.
The government shutdown is causing chaos at some of the nation's airports. Yesterday, flyers waited in very long lines to get through security in New Orleans because there was a shortage of TSA screeners. Senator Kamala Harris, who announced a presidential run on Martin Luther King Day, told reporters she comes from a diverse state, California, which she says mirrors the entire country.
Yes, we are diverse, and we have so much more in common than what separates us. And when we emphasize that commonality, when we recognize that commonality, we will achieve greater unity.
Russia was targeted by the European Union's first sanctions for chemical weapons use as the bloc retaliated over the attempted murder of a former Russian spy in Britain last year. Brutal cold and gusty winds swept the eastern U.S. Temperatures dipped to 30 below in some of the mountains of New York. Government forecaster Dan Peterson says the northeast could get a quick warm-up tomorrow before a second wintry blast arrives.
going to be a real rapid turnaround, and then we think there's a possibility of another surge of colder air coming across the lakes into the northeast once that front passes and we get into Thursday and Friday.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Bard. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Nathan, tale of two New York teams, both at home for an MLK matinee. Another win for the Nets. In Brooklyn, they had double the points that Sacramento had in the second half, and it was 30-9 in the fourth quarter. Nets overwhelmed the Kings 123-84. They've now won four in a row, 17 of the last 22. Then there are the Knicks, never in it with Oklahoma City, who led by 18 in the first quarter, went on to win 127-109 at the Garden. Knicks have lost six in a row, 19 of 21. David Fizdale's team has not won a home game since December 1st.
You know, we want to win for our fans. We want to win for each other, mainly, but This is where we are, and I can't tell them when that win is coming. We just got to keep chopping the tree until we figure out when it's going to happen. You know, we didn't anticipate any of the ones we had. We just kept working until they fell into our lap.
Also last night, Warriors, an easy win over the Lakers, who are still without LeBron James. Klay Thompson, 44 points. He made 10 of 11 three-pointers. College hoops, Rutgers beat Nebraska. Manhattan lost to Marist. Battle of Brooklyn, St. Francis, a 50-point first half and a win over LIU. Just didn't work out for Sonny Gray in New York. Lost his spot in the Yankee rotation last season. They had been looking for a landing spot for him. The Yanks have traded Gray to Cincinnati for a minor leaguer. Stefanos Tsitsipas had the upset of Roger Federer. He won again last night. He's into the Australian Open semifinals. About to start down under Rafael Nadal versus the 20-year-old American Francis Tiafoe. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshauer. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. In case you were curious, Sunday night's game between the New England Patriots and Kansas City Chiefs was the second most watched AFC championship game in 42 years. The overtime thriller on CBS averaged 53.9 million viewers, was just shy of the 54.8 million that saw Pittsburgh beat the Jets in 2011. Futures on Wall Street pointed lower on this Tuesday morning. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up on 512 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 517 on Wall Street, and stocks are coming under pressure with U.S. stock index futures and Asian shares slipping and European equities drifting as a cloudy outlook for trade and growth persists. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The S&P futures are down 17 points this morning. Dow futures down 141. NASDAQ futures down 57. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.75%, yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.2% or 65 cents to $53.15 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.1%, up $1.30 to $12.83.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1362, the yen, 109.47. Today we are watching for a report on existing home sales out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. Halliburton, Travelers, and Johnson & Johnson are among the companies scheduled to report earnings today. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Senate Republicans have released legislation to implement President Donald Trump's proposal to break through the budget deadlock. The centerpiece is the $5.7 billion he has been demanding to build a border wall alongside temporary protection from deportation for some immigrants. Democrats say they are unwilling to negotiate any border security funding until the president reopens the government. The partial government shutdown is now well into its fifth week. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Knicks lost, the Wizards, Bruins, and Warriors. I should say that the Celtics and Warriors were all winners. And some baseball news. Sonny Gray's unsuccessful stretch with the Yankees has ended. New York traded the pitcher to Cincinnati after the 29-year-old right-hander agreed to a contract with the Reds. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're joined this morning by William Hobbs, Chief Investment Officer at Barclays Investment Solutions. Nice to talk with you on this apparent risk-off morning, William. We've heard the downgrade on global growth from the International Monetary Fund, warnings from China's government. Are the risks really any different from what markets have been looking at over the last several months?
Morning, Nathan, and thank you for having me on the show. And I think you've hit the nail on the head straight away there. I think the IMF is a little bit late to the party as usual. Markets got there first, probably a little bit, going a little bit overboard, actually, and getting ready for a recession versus a growth slowdown. That's really what we saw in December with the worst market in U.S. stocks since, the Great Depression. Then private sector analysts got there, slashing their 2019 forecasts, and then finally comes the IMF. But everybody's already there and kind of moving on, in our opinion.
So then what do you make of the market reaction this morning to the IMF's global growth downgrade here to 3.5%?
It's a bit moderate. And remember, that you've had a very nice bounce in risk assets so far this year. So a lot of that December pain has been rode back. So developed stocks, since the beginning of the year, already up 6%, and emerging stocks are up 5.5% in dollar terms. So you've already had, so there's maybe more of a pause for breath rather than people worrying specifically about the IMF. Generally, what you find with the IMF forecast cuts is that, it's generally a kind of lagging rather than a leading indicator.
Got it. So if this is a pause for breath, do you see the January relief rally with more room to run then?
Potentially. I mean, certainly there's less of a discrepancy between sentiment and incoming reality than we saw at the beginning of the year. But it's an interesting time of the cycle to be tactically trading because many investors, kind of understandably, are getting a bit fixated on the chronological age of this economic cycle rather than the biological age, if you see what I mean. And they're getting understandably kind of itchy trigger fingers, as December illustrated. And I think the point about that for those trying to look clearly and dispassionately at the incoming economic data is everybody else managing to look objectively at incoming economic data, or are they trying to slant it towards worrying a little bit more about the recession? So in our point, there's still a little bit of a mismatch between sentiment and reality. That's why we're leaning portfolios very gently towards developed and emerging stocks. We're less risk on than we were at the beginning of 2016, but we still want to lean, we still want some skin in the game for a cycle that still looks got a bit further to run.
All right. So where do you see us in the biological age of this cycle, to use your analogy?
Well, we're still, we're definitely late cycle, aren't we? Because, I mean, U.S. interest rates should be getting closer to choke point. That obviously is a debate that can go on and on exactly where that is. But it's certainly getting closer than it was. And that suggests over the course of the next couple of years that you're going to start to get, interest rates should start to get to a level where they start to deter economic activity a little bit more. But we're just not at that point just yet. So we could conceivably have another couple of years to go.
So when you say that we should have a little bit of skin in the game, what sectors do you see looking most attractive right now?
Well, tech has obviously been in the wars a bit recently, and it's very clear that, through last year, we started to see too many of those blue sky notes come out. That's always the worry when you see that, and you realize that maybe everything's been priced to a little bit of perfection. But the underlying demand story outside of this kind of inventory cycle that's going on a little bit, it is still pretty strong, and it doesn't look, ruinously priced at these levels, so we'd still have some exposure to technology. Financials around the world look an interesting bet, as do industrials, and it's really just continuing to play that idea that the world economy is going to slow this year, has already, but there is still some growth and some growth in capex to come. I think regionally that's where some of the interest is. Developed and equity markets look a little bit less interesting than those in emerging equity markets. You're going to get a little bit faster, plausibly faster earnings growth out of emerging markets, particularly in Asia, and that's where we'd be leaning portfolios a little bit more visibly.
Got less than a minute left here, Will. Does the partial government shutdown in the U.S. Continue to pose a risk to equities, or do you see it running itself out at some point?
Well, I think, as you point out here, it's certainly It's not helpful, but I think the effect so far, the cumulative effect, is in the region of tens of basis points rather than hundreds of basis points off quarterly GDP. And not all of that will be permanently lost, of course. You know, some of those furloughed workers will be paid eventually. So at the moment, it's something to watch, but not get too panicky about. It doesn't bode well necessarily for the next debt ceiling debate, which we start to see at the beginning of the summer. That will be something that markets could start to worry about a little bit more, I guess.
William Hobbs, Chief Investment Officer at Barclays Investment Solutions. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. And checking the markets quickly here, futures pointed lower with S&P futures down 17 points at the moment. Dow futures down by 146. NASDAQ futures down by 58 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Stay with Bloomberg Radio for continuing coverage of the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Our guests this morning include the CEOs of Citigroup and Blackstone, as well as OPEC Secretary General Mohamed Barkindo.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world as investors in the U.S. return from the holiday weekend. Chinese stocks had their worst day in 5 weeks as concern about trade and the economic outlook hit sentiment.
Yeah, the drop comes as Chinese President Xi Jinping warns the Communist Party of serious dangers as both domestic and external risks rise. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
The warnings are a sign the party's concerned about the social implications of the slowing economy. Xi told a seminar the party needs greater efforts to prevent and resolve major risks, from politics and ideology to the economy, environment, and foreign relations. He sees in party cadres a distance from the people, passivity, and corruption, and a slackness in spirit and lack of ability. Professor Dennis Wilder at Georgetown University says it could be explosive if people see the party as no longer delivering on the social contract. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. In another development, the Globe and Mail is reporting the U.S. will proceed with a formal request to extradite Huawei CFO Meng-Wan Zhu. She's accused of banking fraud related to violations of sanctions on Iran.
The World Economic Forum kicked off in Davos with a warning on global growth. The International Monetary Fund cut its forecast for the world economy, predicting it will grow at 3.5% in 2019. That would be the weakest pace in 3 years.
And the UK Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn is backing a plan that would open the door to a second Brexit referendum. The move comes as polls suggest public support for staying in the EU is rising.
Shares of UBS are down about 4%. The investment bank's profit missed estimates. UBS also reported asset outflows of almost $13 billion in the fourth quarter.
Here in the U.S., 10 companies in the S&P 500 report earnings today, including Johnson & Johnson. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence warns that sales comparisons will be tough because J&J had a very strong fourth quarter in 2017. The company's numbers may be pressured by generic competition for Zytiga and other drugs, but analysts still look for a solid pickup in earnings per share driven by tax cuts. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And S&P futures are down about 17 points this morning. Dow futures down 146 and NASDAQ futures are down 58. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32nd, yield 2.75%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.59%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1.2% or 65 cents to 53.15 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Hey, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what's happening in the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Senate Republicans have released legislation to implement President Trump's proposal to break through the budget deadlock. The centerpiece is the $5.7 billion he has been demanding to build a border wall, alongside temporary protection from deportation for some immigrants. Democrats say they are unwilling to negotiate any border security funding until the president reopens the government. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This comes out of a weekend of increased tweets and recriminations between President Donald Trump and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. Trump calling her irrational as Republicans try to put the ball in the Democrats' court with regard to blame for the shutdown. But Democrats like Senator Elizabeth Warren say, open the government and then there will be talk.
People have jobs to do and they should be paid for the work they're doing. Federal workers are not pawns. And they should not be treated as pawns in a political game.
So Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is due to introduce the package proposed by the president over the weekend to pressure senators to put their vote on the record. Talks do continue, we're told, behind the scenes. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The number of U.S. airport screeners who took unscheduled absences rose to 10% yesterday, more than triple that of a year ago. As the stalemate over the government shutdown continued over a holiday weekend, according to the Transportation Security Administration, the number of unscheduled absences hit the highest level seen so far. A year ago, the absent rate was 3.1%. The shutdown is now in its 32nd day. Russia was targeted by the European Union's first sanctions for chemical weapons use as the bloc retaliated over the attempted murder of a former Russian spy in Britain last year. The EU imposed asset freezes and travel bans on four Russian officials deemed to have played a role in the near-fatal poisoning of Sergei Skripal and his daughter in the English city of Salisbury in March. U.S. officials are planning for President Trump to hold his second summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un next month in Vietnam, according to people familiar with the plans. The nation celebrated the Martin Luther King holiday yesterday at a King Day event in Harlem. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said never has Dr. King's legacy been more vitally important.
Dr. King, we need him and his memory and his inspiration more than ever, given what's happened in D.C.
Yesterday, President Trump and Vice President Pence put a wreath at the King Memorial in Washington. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, in a few months, it looks as if the Knicks will be trying to land the first pick of the draft, and the Nets will be getting ready for their first trip to the playoffs since 2015. At Barclays, they made it four straight wins, 17 of the last 22, 123-94 over Sacramento. Nets outscored the Kings in the second half, 68-34. It was 30-9 in the fourth quarter. What did Coach Kenny Atkinson like?
More our defense. I mean, we obviously made some shots, but our defense was excellent. I think TG's job on Buddy Hield was, you know, fantastic. I don't think he scored in the second half, and he was a real concern for us. But great job on him and great defensive performance.
Reference Trayvon Graham's defense. D'Angelo Russell led the offense 31 points. Knicks lost to the Thunder at the Garden, where the Knicks haven't won since December 1st. 127-109. Paul George, 31 points for OKC. Tim Hardaway led the Knicks with 23. The losing streak's at 6. 10 straight at home. Warriors blew out the Lakers in L.A. Klay Thompson set an NBA record. He made his first 10 three-point shots. College hoops, a win for Rutgers, a loss for Manhattan. St. Francis beat LIU. Wagner only 38 points at a loss to Sacred Heart. The Sonny Gray era is over. He struggled as a Yankee, though his record was 11-9. His ERA was near 5. No spot for him in the rotation. With the addition of James Paxton, the Yanks have traded Gray to Cincinnati. Australian Open, American Danielle Collins is into the semifinals. She'll now face Petra Kvitova, both won in straight sets. Match just underway. Rafael Nadal against the young American Francis Tiafoe. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. And in Madrid, soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo's pleaded guilty to tax fraud. He'll receive a two-year suspended sentence and pay more than $21 million in fines. In Spain, a judge can suspend sentences for 2 years or less for first-time offenders. Coming up on 5:38 on Wall Street, the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the youngest woman ever elected to the House. Also in this week's issue, how ESPN's former president's looking to beat the sports broadcaster at its own game. Ira Boudway wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
The simplest way to put it is a Netflix for sports. They have live events. They operate in five markets right now, and they charge you a monthly fee. And their goal is to supplant ESPN and any other competitor in the world of global sports broadcast.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. A lot of Manhattan home listings saw a price cut in the last 3 months of 2018. The East Village saw a 33% cut. In Long Island City, it was 12%. Meanwhile, Westchester co-op sales rose 16% from a year ago, and condo deals rose 8%, according to Miller Samuel and Douglas Elliman Real Estate. The success of New Jersey's clean energy law could mean problems for the state's solar sector. According to NJ Spotlight, if you add up solar installations deployed and in the pipeline for the New Jersey area, it's reached the point at which current subsidies are running out before new ones have been put in place. With the addition of Farmington Bank, Bridgeport, Connecticut-based People's United Financial, now on the threshold of crossing the $50 billion goal its CEO set 4 years ago. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Thank you, Ed. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Starbucks is eyeing the city for expanded delivery.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're looking at quarterly results from Johnson & Johnson.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on a plan from the opposition Labour Party that could open the door to a second Brexit referendum.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The oil industry is set to ratchet up spending in 2019.
I'm Ed Corey on WTAM in Cleveland. I'm reporting First Energy's in the 2019 Bloomberg Gender Equality Index, recognizing its commitment to women's equality.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. A risk-off morning around the world. With S&P futures down 17 points, Dow futures down 150, NASDAQ futures down about 60 points. This is Daybreak. And it's almost 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top news. This is Bloomberg. Good morning.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks coming under pressure this morning with U.S. stock index futures and Asian shares slipping and European equities drifting as a cloudy outlook for trade and growth persists. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 18 points, Dow futures down 150, NASDAQ futures down 60. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 8/32nds, yield 2.75%, yield on the 2-year 2.59%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.5% or 80 cents to $53 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed up 80 cents to $1,283.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1363. The yen, 109.45. Spain getting a national record $57 billion of orders for a 10-year euro sovereign bond, underscoring bumper demand for a one-shun periphery euro area debt. And today we are watching for a report on existing home sales out at 10 o'clock Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the partial government shutdown is stretched into its 32nd day, with another missed paycheck looming for hundreds of thousands of workers. The TSA has said the shutdown is going into uncharted territory. At Baltimore Washington International Airport, a TSA line closed as sick outs escalated to a 10% workforce missing yesterday, more than triple the normal rate. In the NBA, the Nets won, the Celtics lost. The Wizards, Celtics, and Warriors were winners. And some baseball news, the Yankees traded pitcher Sonny Gray to the Reds for a prospect and a draft pick. Global news 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up on 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Edward Evans joins us from our London bureau. He's Bloomberg Opinion editor. And, Ed, we've been watching the market reaction to the IMF's downgrade to its global growth forecast. But Bloomberg Opinion's Daniel Moss seems to be taking it in stride.
With all the breathless reporting about cuts to the IMF's GDP forecast, you might think that the sky is falling in, but nothing of the kind is happening. There is growth, and a recession isn't around the corner. So what did the IMF actually do to warrant all this angst? Well, it cut its global economic projections, although the change is actually hardly dramatic. The world's going to grow at 3.5% this year and 3.6% in 2020. Now, that's just a touch below October's estimate of 3.7% for both years. So this is more an adjustment than a cut, and it's still not too shabby. But that message was crowded out by warnings about trade tensions, Brexit inevitably, high debt and the need for care in setting interest rates given slackening momentum. Sure, we'd all like to see an upgrade, but as far as downgrades go, this was extremely tolerable.
And in terms of downgrades to specific stocks this morning, we're watching UBS shares fall now nearly more than 4.3% now. Elisa Martinuzzi is saying that UBS's crown jewels are losing their sparkle as she analyzes the fourth quarter earnings out this morning.
Two things here. Managing money for the rich is supposed to be one of the best businesses in banking, but even the world's biggest wealth manager is finding that it doesn't always work out like that. Now, the fourth quarter was undoubtedly a difficult time for all banks, but for UBS, clients pulled funds, leaving the firm short on one of its key growth targets. Also, over at the securities unit, the bank's market-leading equities trading business also took a hit, all the more disappointing given the strong quarter its Wall Street rivals had enjoyed. Now, all this comes at a very difficult time for Switzerland's biggest bank. The departures of key executives and speculation that the board is stepping up efforts to find a new CEO will provide a further distraction for management. Investors may take some comfort from the fatter dividend for 2018 and the fact that share buybacks will continue, but questions will go on about how the bank is going to have to finesse its business model in time. One thing to note here, that the bank's profitability targets set just a few months ago still look very hard to reach, and the miss on costs in the wealth management division are a reminder of the pressure on expenses. The group's cost to income ratio was almost 79% in 2018, and that was well above the bank's frankly not particularly onerous objective of 72% for 2021. With geopolitical tensions persisting and expectations for global economic growth diminishing, the pressure on UBS to adapt to a slower rate of expansion is going to persist.
And finally, Andy Mukherjee is looking at the battle between Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos and Indian billionaire Mukesh Ambani. He calls it the bout that had to happen. What's he looking at here?
Well, the battle for the Indian consumer was never going to be an all-American affair. Walmart's splashy purchase last year of Flipkart, the homegrown e-tailer that's giving Amazon a solid run for its money, might have given the impression that this would be a two-horse race. But billionaire Mukesh Ambani wasn't going to watch from the sidelines. And last week, India's richest man jumped right into the fray. Now, the chairman of Reliance Industries has a four-legged plan, essentially, to connect India's retailers and consumers. Part of it relies on hooking up its network of retailers. Part of it means relying on his mobile phone network and the video he can push to consumers. And the other part of this is Ambani's ability to influence policies in his home market. Now, that's something that really shouldn't be underestimated. Just as Reliance gets ready to push ahead, the Indian government has tweaked its e-commerce rules and made them rather more onerous for the likes of Amazon and Flipkart. Now, the Indian government is going to be forcing Bezos to compete with one hand tied behind his back. He could still beat Ambani, but he won't be able to avoid getting bruised.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Edward Evans, thanks as always. Much appreciated. You can read these stories and more from Bloomberg Opinion by heading over to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Bloomberg Terminal customers, you can access all the stories from Bloomberg Opinion by typing OPIN. Go. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Companies flocking to Vietnam because of the China-U.S. trade war or because of a new Pacific trade deal may find other employers are already there as the fight for Vietnamese talent heats up. Sources tell Bloomberg Tax, Tax Court, and IRS staff plan to meet today with members of the private sector tax community to discuss court procedures and operations as the partial government shutdown continues. And a Democratic effort to raise the federal hourly minimum wage to $15 will get stiff resistance from Republicans who argue such a mandate would negatively affect employees.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal news behind the headline, grabbing developments in Robert Mueller's Russia probe. One potentially pivotal witness has been quietly cooperating on multiple investigations for almost a year. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Bob Moon and Peter Barnes speak with Kevin Whitelaw, Washington Deputy Managing Editor for Bloomberg News.
This Rick Gates is not a household name, unlike some of the other figures who we have heard a lot more about and more from during this whole thing. He was Paul Manafort's deputy for a couple of months. But then even after Manafort left the campaign, Gates stuck around, had various campaign roles, and then stayed in touch with key Trump figures, really pretty much, as far as we know, close up to the time he ended up getting indicted by Robert Mueller on several different charges, including conspiracy.
So what is Gates telling Mueller and his team?
That's a really big question. And frankly, we don't know most of it. But obviously, he was present at a lot of moments, would have had access to various documents and other things. So he could be a very valuable witness. And the fact that Mueller has not moved to do anything to sort of bring this to a close the way he has with others, hasn't moved to the sentencing phase the way he tried to with former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. They haven't done the sentencing the way they have with Michael Cohen. They keep sort of extending this cooperation period, which is usually a sign that the cooperation is significant and ongoing and that they're planning on continuing to use him going forward. So, you know, we've only gotten tiny little glimpses here and there, particularly as it relates to Paul Manafort, of the kinds of things that Gates has said. Gates was a witness in Manafort's trial. And even though Gates himself had a lot of personal history that the defense attorneys for Manafort were able to attack, sort of doing some damage to his credibility, still ended up being an effective enough witness that Manafort was convicted on a number of counts.
Refresh my memory here. Was he in on that now infamous Trump Tower meeting where they were getting dirt on supposedly? On
the he wasn't in that meeting, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have knowledge surrounding that meeting. So there are a number of different points where, as Manafort's deputy, Gates would have been looped in on things. So the Mueller probe has been a black box for a lot of people, and there have been glimpses, but most of these glimpses that have come out have been from defense attorneys. And one of the things that's going on here is that Gates was indicted and then he flipped. He cut a deal with prosecutors early on. His attorneys aren't talking. They're not talking to the press. They don't appear to be talking to other lawyers. So, you know, not even Trump's lawyers really have any idea what Gates has actually been telling Robert Mueller.
And that's Bloomberg News Washington Deputy Managing Editor Kevin Whitelaw speaking with Bob Moon and Peter Barnes. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And again, futures are moving lower this morning. S&P futures are down 18 points, Dow futures down 147, and NASDAQ futures down 59. The 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.75%, and the yield on the 2-year is 2.59%. The euro at $1.1361, the yen 109.46. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.